stuff Joe has to edit. And remind me to turn it off. Okay. Last Sunday, y'all let me leave it running, and it ran the whole service, whole morning.
Wait, I can't believe that.
Y'all let me do it.
No, no,
did it.
No,
y'all
you
did it.
No,
that's all his fault.
Not what?
Well, I usually have support that helps me.
I was busy with other things.
So it's your fault.
And yeah, exactly. My right hand folks weren't here. I want to introduce, if you've not met Brother Russ Dunker, this is Brother Russ Dunker. He's from Minnesota. He is here with us for the weekend, and I greet you in the name of the Lord, and we're going to get started. So he watches online, so he probably knows most of you anyway, so he's not a stranger. He's just one of those in the shadow.
He watches us, but we don't watch him.
We don't watch him, right, yeah. All right. So, hey, Sister Johnny.
Good point.
Brother Kern.
All right.
Oh, and good to have Sister Friedman.
Yeah.
Good to have Sister Friedman. Okay. So, we're gathering together unto him. I think we're getting to the gathering fast. So, I really do. So, we're in the book of Romans. Those of you that have been here, you know that. We're in chapter 8, which is a very beautiful chapter. Chapter 8. If we, like last Sunday, we went back to chapter 7, because remember, chapters in the Bible were put in by man. Paul was just writing a letter. He just continually wrote a letter. Man put the verses in, and man put the chapters in. So watch what he says in 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now remember, let me back up for a minute. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, here we go to the compartmentalizing of what he's talking about. Paul is not talking about he's lost. So Paul's soul is redeemed, born again, eternal as God is. It is God. Can't sin, can't make an error, cannot be evil, cannot be wrong, never had a bad thought. Eternal. Right? Because he's a born-again believer, so he's eternal. So what's he talking about? I find in a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Now let's go over to the flesh. It's not the flesh. The flesh is just a product of sin, but you don't sin with your flesh. You say, oh, well, yeah, you do. But it's motivated by what that middle man is. And if you're not born again, you're motivated by the soul, which is evil.
Right.
So Paul's not saying evil is present. But if you and I will agree, 100% of us will agree, that in our spirit realm is where Satan pounds on us.
That's right.
God's in the soul. Yes. That's eternal. Satan can't touch it, but he can touch that spirit man. Because Paul can't say evil is present with me and be talking about his soul. No, he's talking about the second realm, the memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. Those five things are our problem. Right? So if you're born again, your soul's not your problem.
Right.
Your soul's God.
Yes.
That's right.
Your body is just holding everything together. It came because of the product of mom and daddy getting together and producing the flesh. Next Sunday, we'll read the fourth seal, where Brother Brown talks about how it should have been had there not been a fall. We would not have come with a sex act. We would have come by spoken word.
Right.
God would have spoke. God would have spoke to Adam. Because see, that's the way it does. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron gave it to the people. That's just the way it is. Right? Same way within the Garden of Eden. God spoke to Adam. Well, Adam had the thought. Adam was God on the earth, and he was to produce all the people that are now born again. This was before the fall. So that's the way we would have come. But Paul didn't come this way, and nobody sitting in this room did. We all came born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb. Come to earth a liar. Right? But Paul's not a liar in that this man's a prophet, and he's writing the Bible. So he's not saying that evil is present in me as far as in my soul. No, he's a born-again believer. Leave that thing alone, because you know, really, back in here we went through all this. For now I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not your flesh. Because remember, your flesh does not sin. Nope. Your flesh doesn't sin. Your flesh manifests what sin is inside of you. Right?
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
Right. I'll explain it one more time. You say, well, no, I sin with my flesh. Jesus walked up to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, we've never touched a woman.
No.
We've never committed adultery. You can't accuse us of committing adultery because I never touched or had an affair in my flesh. Jesus said, that's all right. But I say unto thee, if you look on a woman,
right,
memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, you look on a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it ain't got nothing to do with this. We've people have been beating on the flesh in this message for years, and that's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
A waste of time. If you can't get the person born again and then get that spirit lined up with the statue of a perfect man, listen, even Jesus' flesh was dying.
Right.
He was Almighty God in human flesh, and that human flesh was dying.
Right.
He had to take a bath. He had to go to the bathroom. He was ever more human.
Yes.
But that soul and the spirit inside that man was Almighty God. He was born the right way. He was born spoken word. Amen? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not of my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Is he talking about the soul? No. He's talking about let the soul live. Because he always goes through and says, it's not I that liveth, Christ that liveth in me. Because watch this whole summation. If you take this right here and you stop at the end of chapter 7, we're all lost. There's no way. I mean, not lost in the soul. I'm talking about, you know, your spirit will never be under subjection. Okay? Because look, for the good that I would, I do not. For the good, I'm pointing to the soul, for the good that I would do, I don't do. Why? But the evil which I would not, that I do. That middleman. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, he's not talking about in his soul. He's talking about his middleman, the memory, reason, conscience, faith, imagination. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the what? Inward man. He goes all the way inside to the soul. But I see another law. Come back. He's got to come back out and live a human life. He's got to have a human spirit. Another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Question mark. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul, like Brother Brown said, Paul, you got us out on a limb. He says, but there is therefore now no condemnation.
Yes.
Now he was condemning himself the whole chapter 7.
Yeah.
The middleman.
Right.
He was condemning himself.
Right.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, middle man, inside man, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, do's and don'ts, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, I want to read this in the Greek, because it's really neat to... So listen to this. So we're going to go back to verse 1. There is then no condemnation now to those who are in the anointed Jesus.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life by the anointed Jesus liberated me from the law of sin and death. This is the actual letter that was written. This is the King James Version that they translated so that we can maybe understand a little bit better. But I'm reading from the Greek Diglot, which is the original written straight off of what Paul wrote. Okay? Jehovah Witness has these, right?
You can order it on Amazon.
You can? Okay. But it's a dial light. And I got the bigger one. There's a small one, but this is the big one, so old people can read. Okay, so now verse 2, watch. For the law of the Spirit of life by the anointed Jesus liberated me from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what was impossible for the law, in that it was weak through the flesh? Why was the law impossible? Why was the law the ultimate? Because it only covered your sin. If it only covered your sin, what we were talking about last night, if it only covered your sin, you got to come out of there somewhere. And your soul's dirty. Because the life of the animal couldn't come back into the person to eradicate or clean that soul. But when Jesus died, he was able to come back because he was eternal. That eternal life could come back into the believer, wash him away, and there's therefore now no condemnation. Put your sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. For what the law could not do, for what was impossible for the law, and that it was weak through the flesh, God having sent his own Son in a form of the flesh of sin, even, parentheses, by an offering for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So he's condemned sin in the flesh. There's therefore now no condemnation. We've got to realize that. All right, I'm going to read you the Greek again. For so, verse 4. For so the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled by us who are walking not according to flesh, but according to spirit. All right? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Because remember, Jesus didn't do away with the law. He made it honorable. We're the only ones that can live the law. We're the only ones that can we don't live the Ten Suggestions. We live the Ten Commandments, you know. Yeah. So... most of the world lives the Ten Suggestions. They suggest, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, covet your neighbor, and all that other stuff. You know, it's suggestion. But do we live it in the flesh? No, we don't live in the flesh. You know why? Because Brother Brown, you come up here to brotherly kindness, when Brother Dale will get to it, he's talking about, you know, having brotherly kindness. Then he talks about not physically killing a brother, but spiritually killing him, or talking about him, or saying something bad about him, and you kill his spirit, and he said you've killed that person. All right, so you don't physically kill anybody now. You don't have to. You can kill them in their spirit realm, kill their influence. Because if you kill their influence, you kill the person. Amen. So, but watch. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And listen, you know what we do? We mind the things of the flesh. Because we live in the flesh. We're husband and wife. We're father. We're son. We're whatever title you want to say. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are the spirit after the things of the spirit. That's where you have to get your balance. For those who live according to flesh are minding the things of the flesh, but those who live according to spirit, the things of the spirit. Now watch. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now what's carnal mind? Carnal mind is what? Enmity to God. So there was no way that God's going to contact you. Now he's got to go through your mind. But the problem is, even within this fourth seal, man was so carnally minded till they took on doctrines that are not of God.
That's right.
So that didn't come from God. It came from a carnal mind. Alright? Which carnal is what? Earthly, fleshly. Alright, it's for down here. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me read you this. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity to God, for the law of God it is not subject, nor indeed can it be. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
That's right.
You say, well, we can, and you know what, though? We can't please God in the flesh. That's why everybody's trying to say, well, long hair, long dress. Don't paint your face, but live like, be black inside. Yeah. You know, the soul would be rotten, and they just live it because so-and-so said it, and because so-and-so said it, because we got it preached to us for about 10 or 15 years. And it really doesn't do any good.
That's right.
You have your hair dragging the ground and still die and go to hell.
That's right.
So then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Look, if. Mm-hmm. Big word right there, if. Because look, Paul says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If that spirit is in you. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you're not a child of God unless you're born again in your soul. Right? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So why have we worried about the body for all these years? Forget the body. Until we come to a body change, it's just going to keep getting older and older and older. But the soul inside is eternal. We just need to let that person out. Start working out. Start working their way out through our memories and conscious affection and imagination. Because remember, God contacts you through those things.
Yes.
I mean, I sat down this morning and worked on a sermon, but it was a sermon of what I've been thinking about all week. So in my mind, I was thinking about what I was thinking about back on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Right? So you have to use your mind. But now that mind also can be carnal.
That's right.
And some big old bad thoughts has come in the week too also. It wasn't just God in there, you know. The devil comes in and goes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lays one of them big words on you, you know, that you don't use anymore. And you say, oh, that bothers me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it don't bother you, the devil's already got you.
Come on.
We were in a youth camp one time, and I probably told some of you, but Brother Danny Steeman was preaching, and there was probably 600 people, and it was a Louisiana camp. And he said, oh, I want all the preachers in here, there was about 25 of us, to stand up. So we all stood up, and all the kids looked. He said, now I want to ask y'all, how many of you have had a bad thought today? We all raised our hands. Danny said, how many of you have had a bad thought while you were preaching? We all raised our hand. And the kids are going. He said, how many of you have had a bad thought while you was praying for somebody? We all raised our hand. So, you know, that kind of give the... what his point was is that we're not... Don't put us up here. Don't put the ministry. The only difference between me and you is God giving me a gift to say something that you might be able to understand.
Yeah.
Other than that, then you know, I'm just as much a sinner saved by grace as any of you. Plus, Satan actually jumps on me a lot of times before he does you. Right? You know, because I'm trying to study for a sermon and all heck breaks loose in your brain. You know, don't have to. He can be calm as everything around you. You know, Louise, y'all know.
Right.
We all know that.
Amen.
If you don't know that by now, then really there's something wrong with you. But you have to believe, though, compartmentalize it, because that didn't come from your soul.
Amen.
Now, when I was a sinner, I knew where that came from, because that's what controlled me.
Right.
I let it control me.
Yes.
Same way with Paul. When Paul was condemning Christians and causing them to blaspheme and putting them to death, God wasn't in Paul's soul. You can say whatever you want to. Bride can't persecute bride.
Right.
So Paul was under the assumption, though, he was religious.
That's right.
That's why Paul can say what he did in Romans 7. He knew what he did. He lived through that. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he put people to death that had what he had now. He didn't knew he didn't have it back then.
That's right.
But now he also knew that I got a conversion. But it didn't convert the whole man. Right? It didn't convert the whole man. Well, that's pretty honey in it now. That's good. I took a good picture when I did. That's actually my honey. I picked it up and took a picture of it.
Nice picture.
So Paul's the best one that can write what he wrote, I believe.
Yes.
God couldn't use nobody else. He used a man that even, think about poor Ananias.
That's right.
When God told him, said, Paul's coming to see you.
Right.
You pray for him.
Right.
I believe, you know, if I was Ananias, I said, Lord, is this the same Saul that we're running from? That we're hiding from? The Lord says, you know, I mean, really, he did, because the Lord said, Ananias, calm down.
Right.
Calm down. You need to pray for him.
Yes.
You see, so even Paul had to come see somebody that had life.
That's right.
To get life. To get the Holy Ghost. But once he did, now he's going, hey, we still got work to do. We still got work to do. Even Peter said, you know, being born again, that's what this whole thing is. It's not that you're getting born again in your soul over and over and over again.
That's right.
You're birthing these virtues into you.
That's right.
And that's helping take the middle man, the spirit man, and turn it into what the inside man.
That's right.
That's what this statue of perfect man is for.
That's right.
Is to turn that middle man. Forget about the flesh. Please forget about the flesh. Oh, the flesh made me. The flesh didn't make you do anything. Like I said many times before, you get somebody he's in a car wreck and he's, you know, from his spine down, he can't move his body. So he can't commit adultery. He can't do all these things that a sinner, drink, smoke, cuss. But if he don't accept Jesus Christ in his soul, doesn't matter what his body does.
That's right.
Okay? So let's quit beating the flesh.
Right.
Like we've done for years. Let's get inside that man and make him squirm.
Yeah.
The problem is we've made the flesh squirm for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years since the prophet left. You know, beat the flesh.
Yes.
Now, listen, that's Catholicism.
Yes.
Right.
That's Catholicism.
Baptistism.
Yes. Beat the flesh. We get this flesh. No, forget it. For we are not in the flesh. Wait a minute. Let's go to verse 8. So then they are that in the flesh, cannot please God. You know why we can't please God in the flesh? Not the flesh, but the motivator. Because, remember I told you before, every time we have a bad thought, that's not from God, so that's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not pleasing God by them thoughts. We're not pleasing God by living a human life.
That's right.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to be. We weren't supposed to have to eat. We weren't supposed to have a septic tank. Anybody got that? We were not supposed to be married the way we're married. So that's all the carnal part that we do. But you know what? If you compartmentalize it, Louis said it sounds like something you'd say. You compartment, but if you'll compartmentalize it that way and say, look, the things that I have to do as a human being is right here. I'm a human. I'm in the first three dimensions. I got trapped into doing this. It was my mom and daddy's fault. But God had to get us here in the flesh. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the flesh. See, when you see serpent seed, it's not just a sex act. It's the whole thing all the way down. Then you take it to the spiritual part. And that's what we're looking at now. Because we're all born between Satan and Eve because we were all born of a sex act. So just get over that. Okay? Get over that. There was only one person that wasn't.
That's right.
And he's the one that we're looking for.
Amen.
And when he changes us back, he's going to change us, not throw this one away and bring another one.
That's
he's
right.
going to change this
right.
one.
Amen.
And that gives so many more people a chance to get to heaven.
Sure.
No,
sure.
It would have only been bride.
Sure. Absolutely. The grace, like we were talking about last night. Foolish virgin, cup of water in my name.
Right.
Being good. All these different things.
Right.
They'll be given eternal life. Where if it just come the way it was supposed to come, only God's children would have been born.
Amen.
They would have been nothing else. But see, to make the fullness of God manifest, he had to be a redeemer, a healer, savior.
Right.
I'm glad I came lost. I'm telling you, a lot of people in the message say, well, I'm glad I came here with eternal life. Well, you did.
Right.
I'm just going to tell you, you didn't.
That's right.
You can say what you want to. You did not come here with eternal life. Now, I've heard them preach it.
Yeah.
I've heard them myself preach it.
Right.
Because of that seed thing. Well, there's only one seed in this word.
Right.
And where is it? It followed me all my life. It wasn't in me. It followed me.
Yeah.
It followed me all my life.
Yeah.
And then one day I connected to what God knew I would want.
Right.
So I connected to it. And guess what? It came from off the page into here.
Amen.
The seed was laying there. And you can say the seed was laying here, but there was no life. Listen, like Paul, how could Paul persecute the very Christians that he was going to be if he had anything eternal in his soul?
Right. Right.
And it's just like me and Jim were talking the other day. There's no way that we come any different than Judas Iscariot. Because you know what? Judas Iscariot can walk up to the day of judgment and say, now you told Bob Black that he had this eternal seed in him and he always was eternal, and that means you didn't give me a chance.
Yeah.
And he would be what? God would be just to give Judas Iscariot eternal life because he came some way different than he did. But no, no, no. Everybody come lost. Everybody was born sinners. I don't care who you are. So you know what? That covers it all. And then when they come up to the day of judgment, Judas can say, I did it. It's my fault.
Right.
You can't say, well, but now Bob, boy, he made it. You even sent a prophet that told him that he had this eternal germ in him and he was going to make it all the way. It didn't matter what. No, that ain't what the prophet said.
Right.
That would be God pulling you through a tube and making you do something.
Right.
No, he ain't that way.
Right.
No.
That's right.
He knew you'd want it, had it there for you, and that's it.
Amen.
I got to quit preaching. We got to get back to Sunday school class. Well, we got to get back to Sunday school class. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If you can't be in the spirit, if you don't have God, that spirit dwelling in you. Now you can have an anointing. The true anointing of God. You can have the true anointing and be false. Right? Because even like we said before, even, now not Ananias the Christian, but Ananias the high priest that put Jesus on the cross. God still honored, you ever thought about that? God still honored when he took that blood behind the mercy seat.
Right.
I mean, he killed Jesus Christ. Or he wanted him dead. Called him Beelzebub. But because he was a high priest, when he took the blood back, if I was God, I'd have killed him while he was in there. But he couldn't. Because his life, see what I mean? His life was under the law, blameless. Ananias couldn't have one mark. They couldn't be one mark. That's why they came down through in that priesthood. There was no mark against him, but the very thing, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, he was spiritually dead. He was black. There was nothing to him. God knew before the foundation of the world that he would never would accept Jesus Christ being there. So
that's right.
To me, that's very simple.
Yeah.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's pretty simple. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, dead? No. It don't hold the beer like it had before. It doesn't. Same hand, same mouth that used to curse. He just cleans it up. Same way what he's going to do with the earth, like we were talking about last night. Heaven and earth will pass away. It took a prophet to tell us that didn't mean explosion and doing away and God create. He's not going to create another earth.
That's right.
But the Bible says, I create a new heaven and a new earth. It took a prophet to tell us, though,
exactly,
that part create was what? Form.
That's right.
Yes.
Just like me and you. You and I are not going to be, we're not going to throw this body away
right. And
pick up a new one. No, that would be real easy.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really easy. But the hard part is for Satan to see you do what you do, walk the world in the world of sin, but God transform your body.
Right.
One day, change our body,
right,
and it'll be like His glorious body.
Amen.
Right? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, that's what we've got to understand. Even Paul was telling us that we are righteous by what's inside of us. Not washing this thing, You know, Jesus is talking about the washing of the pots. Well, what is this? This is clay. This is the pot. You can sit and wash this thing every day. It's still going to die one day if we don't go take a rapture. I mean, take a body change. And if Christ be in you, the body indeed is dead as to sin, but the spirit of life as to righteousness. Verse 11 in the Greek. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also make alive your mortal bodies through the indwelling of his spirit within you. I like that in this because I mean, it explains a little more of this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, what's mortify? Mortar. Mortar solidifies. Bring something together. That's why Brother Brown said, talks about the Holy Spirit mortaring this together. You know, sealing it together. Let's read the original. What verse is that? 13.
Mortify doesn't mean to kill.
Do what?
Mortify doesn't mean to kill.
Go to the definition of mortify.
Hold on just a minute. We are going to do this right here. If I find it. Ta-da. Ta-da. To kill literally.
Okay.
Okay. Metaphorically is made to die, destroy, render extinct by death. To be liberated from the bond of anything. Bond of anything. Literally to be made dead in relation to something.
All right.
Okay. So, if you mortify, that does mean to die. That's correct. But you die, hold on, let's get back to here. You can't kill the deeds of the body totally because we're still living in flesh. Okay? But we know that through the Spirit that there are some things that have to die, and then God seals. Because when you die, they put you in a tomb and then what? Seal you up. That's why that your old husband's got to be dead before you can marry again. Because he ain't alive, he's dead, he's sealed. And that's the same way with when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. If you put Christ in there, he can't come back and get in the same place he got in. Why? Because everything's dead. And he mortified. Because that's what, like I said, mortician and all those things come from what? They deal with dead things. Right? That mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this is where Paul has come to here in verse 13. And he's telling us that we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after. So what is he doing? He's pulling everything apart for us. Right? But watch what he says right here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's the whole summation of verse 1 through 13. All the other things are, you know, things that happen. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. Boom. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Now the spirit of bondage is the debtor and all these other things. Listen, if I'm dead, you can't put me in jail.
Right.
If I'm dead, you can't accuse me of being a thief. Right?
Right.
You can't put me in bondage if I'm dead.
Right.
I'm dead. So if you have not, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, our Father, Father. So here we've received the new birth. Verse 1 through 13, the whole summation is, there's therefore now no condemnation who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. And then Paul takes and tells us about it all the way down to verse 13. And then he sums the whole thing up in verse 14. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and daughters. Amen? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, That's our problem. See, fear has moved from the inside man.
Yes.
Because there's no fear if you're born again. That's what we got to understand. There's no fear in that inside man.
That's right.
That's God Himself.
Amen.
He has no fear.
Right.
Remember?
Yes,
Adam was the one that was afraid. God wasn't afraid.
Right.
God's never been afraid. What's He been afraid of? He made this place.
Right.
And He knows what's going to happen in 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 30 years. You know? I mean, how stumbling would it be if you knew exactly, well, I don't know, tomorrow? If we knew what was going to happen exactly tomorrow, we'd probably shoot ourselves, don't we? But God knows it, though, and He has no fear because He's not in the humanistic realm like we are. Right? But He had no fear. Fear not. So the soul has no fear. So where's the fear? I fear because I remember things. Memory. You know what? I reason that this wall is so thick I can't go through it. But now if Jesus was here, He could just step right on into the building and step right on back out. See, Jesus didn't walk to the wall and hesitate.
No.
Can I do this? No. No. He just walked right on. He just come right on through. Never bothered Him. He never had to. You know, you see movies sometimes, you know, where they're dragging themselves through. If they do go through, they're pulling themselves through. No. He just, what? There's no fear. He just walked right on through. Luis has seen movies like that, I'm sure.
What movie is that?
Yeah.
Ghost.
That's one of those Saturday afternoon matinee movies, you know, those things that I saw you at the other day.
He's me.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Gosh, do we have to visit that again? What message church you see that at?
What message church produced that?
The old joke is they'll start talking about somebody like Tom Cruise or something, and somebody will chime in and say, what message church he goes to? Is he a message preacher? Anyhow.
Probably.
So, it's funny. We have a little fun here. But look, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So your soul's not feared of anything. What we got to do is let that man speak.
Yeah.
Let that man have control. Because our fear is, I remember that wall solid.
That's right.
And I can't walk through it. Well, I just stopped myself right there. Because if I died at this very moment, my soul didn't need a door to go outside or open a window.
That's right.
My soul just goes into another dimension, and if it has to go through that wall, it just, you know, done. That's what we have inside of us.
Brother Branham said that's the real you.
Well, so that is. That's what the real you is. And you are going... We are coming to that image, bringing that man. See, Paul didn't say, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. The middle guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about his soul being wretched. My heavens, no. If you're born again, there's no condemnation. That's what we do. We said condemn ourselves in our memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. We do all that condemning when the soul's in there crying, what are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? That's why we see that the new birth, though, brings us a knowledge. But it's never brought us a knowledge like today.
Right.
I'll end up with this and we'll stop it. Because we're going to start talking about adoption. You receive the spirit of adoption when you're born again into the family. Because you got to be a son to be heir.
Yeah.
Okay? You have to be a son or a daughter to be an heir. Because he's fixing to talk about an heir.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't receive adoption. We don't get the keys to the car the day we're born again. No. No, we have tutors and trainers, and we'll talk about that next Sunday. We'll go into Galatians just for a minute and read Galatians and then come back to Romans, because I really love, and I've preached on it many times, Brother Dale has too, of Romans 14 through down to the end.
Yeah.
Because this is where we're going to come to the place to where waiting for the adoption to wit, or to witness, or to understand the redemption of our body. Nobody's ever understood full redemption until today. That's why we're talking about the seals. On that fourth seal, the rapture takes place. So during that fourth seal, something's got to happen to you. We got to come to a complete adoption. We got to get the dead out of the ground. We got to take a body change, and then we go into rapture.
Amen.
All right, so, and we're in that time right now.
Yes.
So, any questions? But we'll stop right there. But let that inside man do the work. You got to let him do the work. We've been trying to figure things out ourselves so much, so we really mess things up.